राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
कृष्ण प्रसाया भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदान स्वामी नामिने प्रभो नित्यानंदा प्रिय Radha Shiva Sai Gaur Bhaktavandam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sai Gaur Bhaktavanda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sai Gaur Bhaktavanda Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी 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 Thank you.
जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय यशोदनंदना जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे 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 राम Govinda 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah.
Jayam Vishupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Sada Shri Sriman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitila Pravishtom Vishupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Sada Shri Sriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govindana Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhurapuri Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Dwaraka Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaham Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Vinayishmini Bhaktivinoda Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajayani. Namashisha Shuni Vari Pashati Vishadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata Mahyam Dadadim Svapadandiyam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanvidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagalpade Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostude Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanusude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Parthaya Pradibhoditam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrata Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gide Bhavadveshinim Namostude Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayata Patranetra Yenatvaya Bharata Tailapurna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradipam Prapanna Parijadaya Totravetraika Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gidamrata Duhe Namam Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gidamratam Mahal Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsachanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadhrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalya Grahavati Krupena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sottirna Khalupanda Vairananadi Kaivartaka Keshavam Parasharya Vajasarojamamalam Gidartha Gandholkadam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodhana Bhodhidam ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേദീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദേ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ വെൽ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ഫ്രം ഭഗവത്ഗീതം ഇൻ ദി എയ്ത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ടുവേർഡ്സ് ദി എൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദി ടു പ്രോസസ്സസ് നോൺ എസ് ദേവയാനം ആൻഡ് പിതൃയാനം. And in that way, we have seen also in the Srimad Bhagavatam the personalities who have followed this process of Devayanam. Particularly in Vishnu Yamaha's case, it is also spoken that he wanted to give up this body through the Devayanam process. Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam, that he waited for Uttarayanam to come, and in that time he wanted to release himself from the material body, from the earthly body. So at that time Krishna came to Bhishma along with Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the other great sages who were present there, Arjuna and other Pandavas as well. They all together came, and Yudhishthira was very fortunate to receive the instructions from Bhishma. As I mentioned before, about 500 chapters in the Mahabharatam refers to these instructions, which is known as the Bhishma's Upadeshams to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And through that, Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj what is dharmam, and also relieved Yudhishthira Maharaj from the ignorance what he has fallen into, thinking that he was actually responsible for Mahabharat war, and in the falsely he has identified with the reaction of the karmam, what he has performed due to false identification. And Bhishma Pitamaha relieved that ignorance from his mind by speaking to him about the position of Supreme Personality, Krishna. So by presenting Krishna who he is and accepting Krishna's instructions at any time is dharmam, is never adharmam. That is the point what he was trying to make. Bhishma was saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, dharmam means what Krishna says, that is dharmam. And in all circumstances, Krishna's words are absolute. And therefore, here, in this particular instance, you'll find that Bhishma didn't have to talk a lot. He just explained to Yudhishthira Maharaj who Krishna is. And from there, Yudhishthira Maharaj was released from his false understanding that he was the doer, and he was actually the person who has committed the killing, and he is responsible for that. And all such illusions, what was disturbing his mind, has gone away immediately after he came, after hearing from Bhishma what Krishna's position is. So Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing us this understanding that the even great personalities like Yudhishthira Maharaj can fall into that understanding, wrong understanding of the living entity's position in this world. What to speak about ordinary people like us? We are no doubt, we fall into this situation, thinking that we are the doers. We are, ever since we have got this material body, due to what is known as adhyasam in the body, material body, identification with that, along with that the false ego has developed inside, and with that false ego will never allow us to accept that somebody else is controlling us. It will not allow us to accept somebody else is controlling us. That Krishna's hands are everywhere. Sarvada pani vadandal sarvadokshishiro omukham. In the Purushottam prayers, Krishna has been spoken about in like that. That Krishna's presence is everywhere. He has got hands everywhere, legs everywhere, eyes everywhere. And there is nothing in this world, not even a blade of grass, as Prabhupada says in many instances, moves without the permission of Krishna. This is how much, how finely everything is controlled in this world. And we, due to our identification with the material body, and due to the, not only the identification with the material body, along with that our false ego that is built up along with that will not allow us to accept another authority above us. We continue to reject that the authority of Krishna. We think that we are actually doing everything and the results must come accordingly. But here, Yudhishthira Maharaj was given sufficient instructions by Bhishma to tell him that he does not have to take that into account anymore because he has acted under the guidance of Krishna. Once you have taken instruction, acted under the guidance of Krishna, you are no more bound by the laws of this world. Whatever we think as dharmam and adharmam goes away after that. But when you take the instructions from Krishna, it should be taken wholeheartedly without any change from that. It should be absorbed as it is. Otherwise, it will not have the effect. So, Yudhishthira was instructed and after that, Bhishma turned to Krishna and started glorifying Krishna. For first of all, Bhishma was satisfied that, Bhishma was immensely pleased that Krishna has come to see him at the time of leaving the body. And in that instance, Krishna wanted to hear from Bhishma what exactly he thought about his time in this world. And in response to that, Bhishma spoke three important things at that time. One, the seven verses in the Bhishma Stuti, glorification of Bhishma, he talks about the the Mahabharata war in detail. What happened in the Mahabharata war, how 10 days of war where Bhishma was present in the battlefield, how he was able to see Krishna face to face and fight with him in the war. And eventually how Krishna decided to kill Bhishma and ran with the wheel in his hand, and Arjuna pulled him back from that and protected Bhishma from being killed by Krishna. But that mercy, what Krishna has shown, that my devotee's word should come true. In other words, Bhishma's vow is more important than my own vow. Krishna's vow was that he will not take any weapon. And Bhishma's vow was he will may force Krishna to take a weapon. And ultimately, Bhishma has won. Krishna wanted Bhishma's word should come true. To that extent, Bhishma has protected Krishna. Krishna has protected Bhishma, and he made sure that Bhishma's words has come true. That is what is about the Mahabharata war. And there also Bhishma remembers there that this Arjuna who is standing here now, and he thought himself that I am Vijaya, I got Gandiva with me, and I have actually won the war. But Bhishma says there, if Krishna was in there, I would have shown him who he is. That is how bold he was about talking about Arjuna. Arjuna was thinking that he can fight with Bhishma. Nobody could fight with Bhishma. Bhishma was such a powerful personality. And only because Krishna's plan was that Bhishma should eventually has to leave the body, and and that way he has executed his responsibility there. And Bhishma also has been given the special mercy by Krishna by being present there at the time of leaving the body. So, Vavahida pradanamukham nirisha svachanavadhat vipukasya dosha buddhyaha. That dosha buddhi means that Arjuna felt on that day, that was the same day today, on that 5,000 something years ago, the same thing happened. That svachanavadhat vipukasya dosha buddhyaha, that dosha buddhi came to him. What was that dosha buddhi? Identification with his own body, and thinking that all these my relatives are standing in front of me, and if I kill them, it's going to bring heavy sinful reaction, this, that and the other. All coming from Maya. Maya's different ways of engaging, taking us into the material life, material consciousness. Svachanavadal vimugasya dosha buddhyam kumati mahas charatma vidyayam charanradi paramasya dasyam estu. At that time, by speaking Bhagavad Gita, Krishna cleared the mind of Arjuna and brought him back into action again. Did he not? He did that. By bringing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna was satisfied that he realized his duty was to accept Krishna's instructions and act accordingly. That clarification was given on that day. And that is what we find in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhishma particularly refers to in the Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma's glorification. Bhishma particularly gives reference to this particular incident in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where he spoke about how Arjuna was Arjuna was brought back into action by Krishna's speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. Atmavidya is given to Arjuna at that time. Otherwise Arjuna was in confusion. Like all of us, when we all have different crises in this world, we also think, not knowing what is the right thing to do, whether this is the right thing or that's the right thing. And this crisis comes. Why? Because there is no Atmavidya. There is no knowledge of the self. And that is where it's coming from. Where does this confusion comes in life? Comes in life because we are not fixed up in spiritual life. Our identification with the body, because of our own long-lasting association with the material body and identification with the body, we are thinking that bodily relationships and bodily activities are priority compared to what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in the different chapters. So this Atmavidya is missing, and therefore we have crisis, the absence of Atmavidya. So, 7 verses in Bhishma Stuti refers to this particular aspect of Bhagavad Gita. And after that, Bhishma did not stay very long. He wanted to conclude by 2 more incidents in his life, what has made him to think about the position of Krishna. One was about the Rasa dance. And Bhishma, although a brahmachari, has spoken about Rasa dance. That is the most interesting thing. That he was able to bring that importance of Rasa dance and the position of the gopis in relationship with Krishna. Lalitagati vilasaval guha sampranaya nirikshana kalpidorum ane kratam anukratakavatya minmadhanda kratayamagan kilayasva gopavadvaham. That gopis of Vrindavanam, that through they came to Krishna in a lusty mood. They approached Krishna. They didn't come to him as pure devotees of the Lord. Their approach to Krishna was such that they wanted to associate with Krishna. And in that way, different dealings they had with Krishna. And what happened at the end? Kratamanuvratavatyamunmadhanakudamagan pradiyasyagokalayasyagopavadvaham. That eventually they were purified by association with the Supreme Personality. Krishna says that to Uddhava also much later, that gopis have elevated themselves due to their association with me. He says in the Ekadasi Skandam. So that is what has happened to the gopis. And that one particular relationship with the gopis with Krishna, Bhishma has not forgotten to point out in his glorification. And then third thing, the last one which Bhishma wanted to mention about was the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Munigandhravavaidya sangulandam sadasa yudhishthira rajasuya vesha. That in Rajasuyam sacrifice, so many great personalities were present there, great sages were present there. And there Krishna was selected as the, for Agrasana Puja, where he was, as the chief guest, he was honored there in that assembly of the great sages and all the other great kings who were present there. They were all rejected by Sahadeva, and Bhishma had also a little responsibility in that, in making sure that Krishna was Krishna was worshipped there in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. So these 3 incidents Bhishma has spoken about in his glorification of Krishna. So as I mentioned before, Bhishma Pradamaha was on his way back home. Devayanam process he was going through. And in relationship to Bhagavad Gita, as you have seen, that it does not have to be, it does not take very long to understand a person who is following the process of Devayanam. Devayanam will take a person all the way going up. All his mind, senses, intelligence, everything will pull him up all the time. Whereas the person who is going to come back into Pitriyanam also, it doesn't have to wait very long, because all his all his conditions like mind, intelligence and ego will pull him towards material life further and further. That also you can see in this world. So from there you can make out that a person is likely to go in Devayanam or Pitriyanam even today. You don't have to wait till he leaves the body. That can be known even today. So this way, what has happened was that after those prayers are gone, then coming back to Bhagavad Gita again, then it comes to one point, important thing here, is that the loss of karmam. Karmam is an important aspect in life. And when we do not understand karmam, we think that we minimize the importance and we start thinking, speculating on karmam. What sometimes people say, oh, that's my karma, what I've done, you know, I'm suffering because of that. But normally, when people speak like that, generally their understanding is that when some reversals happens in life, for example, failing in the examination or lost the job or something else, some some other illnesses came and suffering in this world, so they start identifying with karma at that time. This tendency is in everyone. And even those who do not follow the Vedic tradition, even they accept that there is something to do with our activities. Is it not? Everybody thinks like that. There is something coming back to me, what I have done in the past. And they are not able to pinpoint the cause of it. Because it is possible that some of them have acted properly in this life, but for them also distress comes in this world. Distress doesn't leave anybody. So why did this distress come? Distress come because they also realize that at some point in time, life, I must have done something. Otherwise, why should it come to me? This distress should come to me. In this way, we identify with karma in that way. That's why we call it as the karma phalam. The karma phalam is taken some kind of reversals that happens in life, is accepted as karma. Is it not? That's how we think about karma. But the science of karma is a lot more wider than that. Krishna has taken 5 to 6 chapters in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita to explain this thing called karma and how to understand the karma. And when we understand karma through Krishna's eyes, Krishna's explanations, then you can appreciate that the whole creation is working under the laws of karma. There is nothing that prevents that from doing that. We foolishly think some certain things as karma. That is because it's only related to me, a temporary distress. I accept it as karma, results of karma. But karma is not like that. Karma is much more bigger than that. So in order to understand karma, there are different explanations to karma. What does karma mean? Karma generally we refer to not only action. It is, Shastram is referred to as chalanam. Chalanam means to move, to motion. Motion is called karma. That is how it is referred to. Everything in this world is moving, constantly moving, all the time. We may or may not know that motion is happening all the time, in everywhere. Even now the scientists have found out that this, inside every molecule, there's atoms, and atoms are moving, and protons, electrons, this movement is going on everywhere, in the smallest level. And in the highest level, all the planets are moving, are they not? And they are all moving on a certain path in different, rotating around the sun or around other planets are also moving. All this, everything in this creation is on move all the time. So chalanam is referred, or the movement or the motion is referred to as karma. That is what is actually referred to as karma. It's from there the science of karma begins, from this understanding. That it is not, karma is just what happens to me in my life, what misery I bring, I get it, that's my karma. That's not the only karma, that is only a very, very minute part of the whole cycle of karma. The, strictly speaking, the karma that is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita is that karma which refers to actually the whole manifestation of the whole cosmos, how that is functioning. It's under the laws of karma. Karma has got, there are 5 things mentioned, what can be done. And the results of that 4 things are also there as far as karma is concerned. Ukshevanam avakshevam, gamananja prasaranam akunjanam. These are the 5 things mentioned in reference to karma, what they are. That you can lift a thing up, you can bring it down, avakshevam. Then gamanam, you can go somewhere and get there. Prasaranam, you can pull it up and you can bring it closer. These 5 things are referred to in the Shastras as karma. What karma means? These 5 things. Everything in this world falls into one of these. If you think sometimes quietly when you have time, you can think about it. In these 5 categories, they will all fall into. And that is where the Shastric way of analyzing is a little different than the way we analyze things. Shastram can bring it closer, much more. Less like the material elements, 5 material elements, Krishna says this whole creation goes on from these 5 material elements. Bhumi, Ravanalo, Vayu, earth, water, air, ether and fire. That's what these 5 elements, that is this creation is. So similarly, in karma also, these 5 things are happening. And the result of doing that is, there will be 4 results that what can you can achieve by karma. What are they? One is apyam. The other one is utpadyam. Third one is samskaryam and fourth one is vigaryam. What are they? What actually it means is, apya means you can get somewhere by doing that particular activity.
Utpadyam, you can manufacture something from by karmam. Samskaryam, you can purify something by samskaryam, what it is called, just like gold is purified. Or you can from say that from the from the crude oil, you can purify and bring petrol and other products from that. So that purification process, that is also the result of that. And then vikaryam. Vikaryam means something like turns out into something. For example, milk is turned into yogurt. That is vikaryam. Vikaryam is changed there. So like this you will see that the results of activities, karmam, ukshepanam, avakshepam, gamanja, prasaranam, agunchanam. The five things. And the result of these four things will come from that. Now, in addition to that, what else is there? In addition for that, to function in this world, for karmam to happen, it requires a basis. a basis on which only it can happen. For example, the train is running. You require the rails to run, isn't it? Or another side, otherwise it requires something on which it can work. Otherwise it can't function. Anything in this creation is like that. You will find that there is something on based on which it is supported. Even the higher planets, all these great planets that are rotating in this creation, they also have a particular path to follow, and they have a relationship with the center of the universe or the other planets mutually. They have a relationship together. So all these relationships are due to the effect of karma. Karma is that is controlling all the movement of all these planets. For example, we say many planets are rotating around the sun. Whatever that is, it is material. Scientists are saying that there are these planets traveling as such. They have found out, probably they were right also, that some of the distances they have given, these planets are rotating at such a distance from the sun planet, and their movements is controlled. So how did all this happen? This didn't happen in a natural way, isn't it? There must be some rule must be there. Who has produced these rules? That is the laws of karma. It is the karma that is controlling even the planets to move around in that particular speed, in the particular directions. And that is why they don't clash each other. They keep going day after day. And as far as movement is concerned, even the earthly planet is rotating, isn't it? We all know, from the scientists at least are telling us, the earthly planet is rotating. But we are not experiencing any rotation, are we? We are not experiencing any rotation, but its rotation is going on. So this movement, based on the laws of karma, is happening all the time. It is too deep a subject. It cannot be easily recognized, except that we have to accept the authority of the Shastram and go along with it. There's no other choice. Because when Krishna explains certain things in Bhagavad Gita, you'll find there are many factors which are not directly can be perceived by us. Most of the subjects discussed in the Bhagavad Gita are subtle points, isn't it? Living entity is subtle. Material nature is subtle. Soul is subtle. And material elements are subtle. Everything is subtle for us to understand. But it is a science of that subtle world. That's what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, to a large extent, we have no freedom. We have no choice except the authority of the or the words of the Supreme Personality, Krishna's words, and try to understand what Krishna is taking us to. And that's what he has done in the Karma Yoga chapters. So there, as I mentioned, what else is required for karmam to perform? Apart from the basis on which it can work, you require energy also, urjam. Energy is required to execute the karma. So all these things together keeps this whole cosmic manifestation going on. That's what's keeping it together. Isn't it? That's what is keeping it together. So, this thing called Karma Yogam is not open to everybody. Karma Yogam is only open to the human society. You cannot ask a cat or a dog to do Karma Yogam. Can he do that? Can one understand? Because it is a process which was given only to the human society. In Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that it was only spoken to the human society. So, this Karma Yogam becomes very important. Because it is from this Karma Yogam, a living entity acts in this world all the time. One way or the other, it has to act, isn't it? So the understanding of Karma Yogam is important. And kartam, akartam, anyatha kartam. That is what it is spoken like that. We have a freedom to do things. We have a freedom not to do it, or we have a freedom to do in whichever way we want to do it. So, kartam, akartam, anyatha kartam. It's spoken like that about this freedom we have got. we only have this freedom to do this, what we want to do about karma. So, because of that, this Karma Yogam chapters becomes very important. Why it is important? If you think about it a little deeper, you will know that the Arjuna came to fight the battle in the Kurukshetram, isn't it? He came there to fight a battle. But actually, it was not a battle. It was, according to Krishna, it was a yajnam there. You see? The battle was a yajnam there. In the battlefield of Kurukshetram, as soon as Krishna, Arjuna acted according to instructions of Bhagavad Gita, it is no more a battle. It's not a war anymore. It became a sacrifice or a yajnam. What it is called as the war became, Mahabharat war became a yajnam. We say call it as a war, but strictly speaking, it was a yajnam because Arjuna was executing exactly what he was told by Krishna. That's one thing. Now, look at Daksha Prajapati's incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam with Lord Shiva. What happened there? Daksha Prajapati was performing a sacrifice, wasn't it? But what happened? It became eventually a war. Just the opposite thing. Is it not? That if you look at this relationship between when does something become a sacrifice and when does something become a war? A yajnam can become a war if you approach it like Daksha Prajapati has done. But a war can become a yajnam if you approach it like the way Arjuna has done. You see, Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva, Mahadeva, to such an extent that eventually Mahadeva had to smash the whole ego of Daksha Prajapati's Dehabhimanam. That identification with the body was so strong that Mahadeva decided to finish up that false ego, and therefore he decided to destroy the whole thing, whole sacrifice. So, started as a sacrifice, ended up as a war. And Mahabharat war started as a war, ended up as a sacrifice. Just see how these things are important, because when we do not understand the significance of these first earlier chapters of Bhagavad Gita, we are tend to prone to act in the wrong way, not knowing. And this is our biggest problem also, that not understanding, appreciating Krishna's words, instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Not able to understand it and not able to appreciate it. What Krishna is trying to tell us about through these chapters. So, that is what has happened. And because of that, in the second chapter itself, in the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna first about the Sangha Yogam. He says that, I have not talked to you, the Jnanam, and then I am not talking to you about the Yogam. And in that process, Krishna explained to him about karma. Did he not? He told about importance of karma and to execute karma. And Arjuna got confused after that. One side, Krishna told him about the Jnanam side, about the presence of the soul, and the identification with the soul, and all the associated knowledge Krishna has delivered to Arjuna. Immediately after that, in the second chapter, Krishna also spoke about the importance of karma, the importance or the necessity to execute one's duty. So it was then that Arjuna got confused, isn't it? In the end of second chapter, in the beginning of third chapter, Arjuna raises this question. But while talking about karma, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna that four things he mentioned there. Karmanyevadhikaraste ma bhaleshu kathajana ma karma bhalahe durbur madho sangostva karmani. Four things he mentioned. This is called as the Chatur Sutras of Karma Yogam. That is what is there, the four sutras. First thing, karmanyevadhikaraste. Krishna says that he will explain all the four lines separately, and you can understand that how much importance Krishna has given to karma. In what, because that is why every living entity who comes to this world, he has two things to do, isn't it? Bhakti comes much later, when one becomes a little intelligent and one's desire develops in to go back to Krishna. That is when one searches after bhakti. Up to that point, when one has a material body, the first thing what he is inquiring about is, he develops knowledge first of all, jnanam. And jnanam and karma, jnananishtha and karmanishtha, these are the two things. And then he starts acting based on the knowledge what he has acquired in this world. So, if the knowledge is not proper, karma is also going to suffer on account of that. That means the understanding is wrong, the activities also go wrong. Isn't it? The activities also will go wrong. It is bound to happen. That's why everything what we do in this world, if it is not done with the correct understanding from Bhagavad Gita, then the result could be disastrous. Some things can go wrong. And that is why it is so important to understand the science of Karma Yoga, as Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita through these Chatur Sutrams, or what is Karma Nevadhigaraste Ma Phaleshu Kadachana Ma Karma Phalahe Durbur Mato Sangostva Karmani. That Krishna says there that we all have the, we are qualified to do the karma. You are allowed to do the, execute the karma. That much we are allowed. According to our own particular propensities or the whatever we are engaged in, that karma has to go on. Karma you can't stop. That is allowed. That is allowed. But what is not allowed? Ma bhaleshu kadachanam. That you shouldn't expect the results from karma. You shouldn't expect the results from karma. Let's get into it a little bit deeper and understand why you couldn't expect results from that. Normally, we are people who, if we do something, we want the results straight away. Otherwise, we don't want to touch it. So why should I waste my time? Bhagavad Gita is not saying that you should go and do service to the whole world freely. That's not Bhagavad Gita. He's not asking to do that. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that there are certain principles in this, certain laws which controls these things. We should understand, and with the right understanding, we should do it. For example, I mentioned before this also, that we get this ability to execute a particular karma on account of what? On account of the presence of the soul in the body, which is Krishna's part and parcel, is present within the body. As long as the soul is present there, the mind is functioning, intelligence is functioning, senses are functioning, and the whole body is functioning on account of that, isn't it? Otherwise the body is just useless. Body cannot do anything with all the presence of everything else. Without the presence of the soul, nothing can happen. So what Krishna is saying there is that while executing any karma in this world, even smaller thing, even just to take the book from here, as I mentioned this before, you can take the book, but in order to take the book, I am thinking that I am doing the job. But actually, if you understand the Krishna's position on this, Krishna is saying that it is because of my part and parcel who is within you that your body is able to function properly. Like the different parts of the body are functioning. The blood is flowing, I am breathing, the food is getting digested, I am getting the energy, the hand is functioning, the nerves are working. Everything in this body is working only because of the presence of the soul within the body. So strictly speaking, although I have lifted this book, the credit must go to Krishna. It is Krishna who has allowed me by being present in my body and allowing the different entities in the body to function that I am able to lift this book. And if a simple thing like this is so much support is required from Krishna. A simple thing like this. In other words, if you divide the work involved in this, you can say more or less 99.9% has to go to Krishna, isn't it? And it's probably the 0.1% that has come to me, if ever there is any credit for that. So, in everything, in every activity in this world, what Krishna is saying there, don't forget about my contribution in that. That's all he is saying. That living force within us, which is allowing you to do things in this world, if you keep him away from this in your calculations and start doing things, then that is unfortunate. That is what Krishna is reminding us. So, because it's Krishna is doing that, what right have you got to ask for the result? You are thinking that you have done this, and you are making so many claims from this world, I have done this, I have done that, I invested so much money, my returns haven't come, stock market has gone into busted and everything has gone. So, then you are lamenting, and then you take to some other process to find the relief, and you start blaming also, why is Krishna like this? That he has not acted properly towards me, he has made this, he didn't give me the salary raise I was looking for, or he wasn't he didn't get me the lottery what I bought the ticket for. All kinds of things we abuse Krishna on account of this. But this account is better known to Krishna, what you are entitled and what you are not entitled for. And that acceptance of that ma bhaleshu kadachana, that it's me who is actually the giver of the results, not anybody else. Krishna gives the results according to his own calculations, whatever that is, that you do not know. We do not know that, what qualifies a person. So, ma karma balahe durbur madha osangostva karmani. That first thing is, you have the right to do the duty, but you have no right to claim for the results. Results may come, may not come. Thirdly, that you are not the cause of the results. To think that I have done it and therefore the results have come, it's me who has done it, that is the greatest blunder, Krishna says. No, you're not. You're not the cause of the results. Ma karma bhalahe durbhurmato sangostva karmani. That even though things are like that, you are not allowed actually to stay quiet without doing anything. Akarmanyatvam. Akarmanyatvam means not doing any karma. That's also not allowed. In so many examples, this can be explained to make it easier for us to understand. Say a fan is rotating. The fan is rotating. The fan has got the freedom to rotate when the soul in the fan, which is electricity, goes in, isn't it? The fan can rotate. But fan has no right to decide what kind of air it's going to blow, whether hot air or cold air. That is not in the hands of the fan. Fan is not allowed to decide that. Fan can only decide that he is allowed to do the work. He is allowed to rotate. And the energy is provided by the electricity. He will rotate the fan. And the fan is rotating, it can blow the air. But the quality of the air and what kind of air, hot or cold or whatever it is, that's not in the control of the fan. That is in Krishna's control. So something like that, a similar situation with us also. We can do the karma, we are allowed to do, and we must not stay away from doing karma. But at the same time, the results are not in our hands. That's what Krishna is saying. Do not forget that this karma has been done by the presence of me within you, who has allowed you to function in a particular activity, allowed you to execute. Like big projects, when it is completed, the team, project managers and project directors or whatever it is, they all feel great that they have done a wonderful job. And they all get together and celebrate the success of the executing the project. But none of them are aware that there is this external factor of the presence of the soul within the body who has given all the help what was needed to complete that project. They forget to give that credit to that person, Krishna. That is where we make this biggest mistake in our activities also. As long as this understanding is not there, our karma will fall into what's sticking. It sticks to us. This is where the problem comes. The sticking starts there. For example, say in the kitchen, some a few people are cooking in the kitchen and they have prepared something very, very nice. Some nice dish they have prepared and they have served the dish to all the guests. Guests have come and eaten and they have really appreciated. Very nice job has been done. So they've gone to the kitchen and wanted to see who has done it. So they just wanted to find out who actually cooked that particular dish which they liked very much. So someone came up and said that I have prepared that dish. So when they were talking to each other, the spoon which was used for cooking, spoon is saying from the pot, no, I have done the work. She is taking the credit wrongly. We are like that in this sense. That actually Krishna's hands are in everything. In everything what's... This is why this one particular point has to be driven very hard into the mind, because our mind won't accept it very easily. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere, this topic is again and again stressed by Vedavyas. Ahangara vimudhalpa kartasmidi manyade prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalpa kartahamidi manyade in the Bhagavad Gita. Ahangara vimudhalpa kartasmidi manyade in the Kapilavasthu. Kapilavasudeva says to Devahuti. So there it is spoken. Krishna speaks again to Uddhava about it. And in several other places you will find this one point is stressed again and again. And we read it, but we just think, oh, something must be there. We don't know what it is. We leave it at that. And we continue what we are doing. But if this understanding hasn't come, then we are not even understood anything about karma or karma yoga that way. Number thing. Secondly, even there are so many examples. Just like if I clap the hands like this, I have got the right to clap it like this. But there is no guarantee that the sound has to come from that. Who brings the sound at that point? It's Krishna who is bringing the sound. I have no control on that. That when I clap the hands, the sound should come. Who decides that? Krishna decides that. That's why Arjuna also, Krishna repeated this in the, I think it's in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. Savyasaji, you are just a cause, nothing else. And this nimittam, that's what we are. Nimittam means we are just a cause in that whole cycle. We have no much of a freedom in that. And if we do not recognize this, the presence of the presence, Krishna's presence in in us, activating us every minute in everything what we do, what we say, what we hear, in all these activities, Krishna's presence is very, very, very strong. And recognizing this presence of Krishna in us is the first thing in the Karma Yoga. That is what makes the whole body functioning. Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam comes from the Supreme Soul, from Supreme Personality, Krishna. So, in order to explain that a little bit more detail, Krishna is repeated in the third chapter. If you look at the verse 5, you will find throughout Bhagavad Gita this is repeated, this one particular point. Nahi kaschil kradam akshanam abhi jadu dishtat yakarmakral karyadehi avashak karyadehi avashak karma sarvam pragrajir gunayam. Translation. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses, born of the modes of material nature. Krishna says, all men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Krishna says that you won't be able to stay out of it. You are within that karma chakram. We discussed about karma many times, that there is a thing called karma chakram. That means we do act according to our vasanas. And when we act, what happens? It creates a certain reaction from that, isn't it? From our action, a certain reaction is created. When a certain reaction is created, what happens? Either we accept it or reject it, favorably or unfavorably. Sometimes the action is reaction is favorable, sometimes unfavorable. Accordingly, that will create another vasana inside. Is it not? So another vasana is created, which means what? Another material body again to complete that vasana's strength inside. To fulfill that vasana, we have to accept another body. So that means it started with work and ends up in another work again. It comes back through this cycle continuously. That's why it's called karma chakram. Krishna talks the word, exactly uses the word karma chakram in the Bhagavad Gita. Later on you can see that. Karma chakram is spoken there. The wheel of karma. How one is caught up in that. So, in the next verse you will see that Krishna has spoken something different. He says, Karmendriyani samyamya aste manasas maran indriyarthan vimudhalma mithyajara samuchyade. Krishna gives a name giving ceremony. He is giving a name to somebody there. What is called? It's called Mithyajaram. The verse, sixth verse in the third chapter. Mithyajarasa Uchare. He calls himself as Mithyajaram. What does it mean? It's a very, these things are very, very important, because when you understand them, then you start thinking about it. That is the beauty of these verses. Krishna is saying here, Karmendriyani samyamyam, ya aste manasasmaran. Some people are there, they have complete control on their senses, right? They are not doing anything. They have completely pulled their senses back. There are two kinds of senses. As you know, I'm sure most of you know this. Senses of knowledge and senses of action. Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam. Jnanendriyams are the five senses which are the, we touch the Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means the eyes, the ears, the nose, the taste and the touch. These are the five senses of knowledge. And then there is five senses of action. Vaka, Pani, Padam, Payu, Upastam. They are the words in the Sanskrit. That is the word, the power to speak, the hands, the legs, and then the two Payu and Upastam. That is where the for discharging, releasing from our body. So these two things and three together, all five, they are the karmendriyams. So five jnanendriyams and five karmendriyams. So some people you see, they'll control their karmendriyam very nicely. The five karmendriyams with which you do the action in this world, they are controlled. When they control their karmendriyam, and then what do they do? Ya aste manasasmaran indriyarthan. Mind is absorbed in the sense gratification. They are not doing any work with their senses, but they are using their mind to do that work. In what? Sense gratification. In their mind, constantly thinking, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, making plans, trying to enjoy in the mind what happened then, what happened now. All kinds of, what we call it as more like a daydreaming is going on with such people. You know what Krishna calls them? Mithyachara. Mithyachara means one who is acting in a, actually Krishna has used a little heavier word, vinudhalma. That's the word he has used. Mithyachara samuchyadeyam. That Krishna says there, such a person who doesn't do anything, but externally he appears as though he is very controlled, but the whole mind is absorbed in the sense gratification process. In different ways he is doing different things. And such a person is called Dr. Mudha. That is a word for it. The Vimudha means one who has taken a doctorate in mudhatvam or stupidity. He is so stupid, Krishna says, that such a person, he does not understand. And therefore, Mithyachara Samuchyate, his execution of work is such, he is so stupid in what he is doing. So that is a name for that person. So there are, that person do not understand what is karma means, karma yoga means. He does not understand either. And then in the next verse, Krishna is talking about another person, which is slightly different. What's that? His opposite side. Yes, indriyani manasa niyamya niyamyarabhade Arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyadeyam. On the other hand, translation, on the other hand, he who controls the senses by the mind and engages his active organs in works of devotion without attachment is by far superior. Krishna says one who practices this, he is doing everything in this world, but at the same time his mind is not affected by that. In other words, he is not yasti indriyani manasa niyamya arabhade Arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyade. He is executing karma yogam. That's what Krishna is saying there. It is easier to understand this through an example, because otherwise all these things, examples are better, because through examples, if you think about it, you will get a better understanding of it. Once it so happened that there were two sannyasis. One of them, you can call it as a junior one, junior sannyasi. Another one was a senior sannyasi, you can call a guru or whatever, in a higher, more elevated than the junior one. So, these two sannyasis, they have gone for a bhiksha. Bhiksha means they were invited somewhere for prasadam. They went there and they had prasadam everything and they were going back. They had to cross the Ganga River. They had to cross the Ganga River to go back to their ashram. So, while it was quite late in the afternoon, it's getting probably closer to the sunset, time was getting late. And these two sannyasis, they were discussing big topics and walking back home. They were discussing the nature of Brahman and things like that, you know, things which you don't ever understand. Such things they were discussing and they were walking together. When they got to the river bank, there was a young lady standing there. And she wanted to, when she saw these two sannyasis, she paid her obeisances to them, to the sannyasis, which is a normal custom. When you see the sannyasi, you should offer your respects to him. So she offered her respects to them. And naturally, the junior sannyasi who was there asked her, just acknowledged, you know, when somebody offers obeisances or respects to you, you should not just ignore and walk away from there, like many people do. At least you should acknowledge that somebody has, she has not respected you. Actually, what she has respected is the Supreme Personality of Godhead situated within your heart, who is in a sannyasi, is supposed to be more illuminating to the world. So there she offered the respect. But people who are in the bodily concept of lie, they'll think, oh, it's just important, it's ignoring. Like that, they walk away. Sometimes you see that also happening. Anyway, that is, so you can see where we stand. So our junior sannyasi automatically responded properly. He obviously asked the lady, she was probably in the mid-30s or early 30s. She asked him, Mother, what are you doing? Are you waiting to cross the... Because lady was frightened to cross the river alone. She was frightened to cross the river alone. It was getting late in the evening. The sun was just setting and she wanted to get back home. And Ganga River has got also one problem. Depending on how much snow is melted, the water level can go up or down sometimes. It changes quite often, frequently. And so when she saw that if somebody is there, I could go along with her, with them to cross the river. So she was looking for someone who was crossing, she could go along with them. So if anything happen, such a long, wide river to cross alone, she was a little bit fearful. So that's why she was waiting there. So she waited there and this junior sannyasi told her, we are just crossing, you can come with us. There should be no problem with that. When the junior sannyasi said this to the lady, the senior one gave a very heavy look to the junior one and expressed his unhappiness for talking to a lady after taking sannyasam like this. And although he didn't mean anything, he just spoke to her that you can just come with us and cross the river and we are going in this direction, you can go in your direction. That was all it was all about. So he said like this to her and they started crossing the river. Unfortunately, what happened was, almost they were about to finish crossing the river, underneath, there will be a lot of this stones there. You know, these stones which are not very, very you got to be careful while putting your steps on. Sometimes you can trip and fall easily, either they slip or something like that. Something happened. Our young lady fell in the water. The young lady fell in the water. Our junior sannyasi didn't take notice of anything when the senior looked earlier. He didn't register in his mind at that time. He went and held her hand. Not only held her hand, he lifted her from there and brought her closer to the river bank and left her there on the river shore. Yeah? On the river shore, he left her there. She got up, said Hari Om, paid her obeisances to both the sannyasis and she walked home. She went in her direction. These two sannyasis, they went in their direction. So while going back from the river, after they crossed the river, they are going to their ashram. When they are going to their ashram, the sannyasis, the senior one was very angry about what has happened. That is his disciple also. Sannyasi disciple of the senior guru. So he did not say much to him at that time. He didn't say anything to him about it. He kept quiet. And it was getting late. They were in a rush to get back to the ashram. They got back to the ashram at the end. When they got back to the ashram, our junior sannyasi went up to the senior sannyasi and started speaking to him. But the response wasn't very good. He was being a bit very rude to him. So our sannyasi told him that, Gurudev, what has happened? What has upset you? She says to him, what has upset me? Do I have to tell you what has upset me? He said. That was his answer to him. So, going there, touching her, holding her, lifting her, bringing her, and then leaving her, and then coming and asking me, what has upset you? He says. So, you know what the junior sannyasi told him? He says, it is very true. I've touched her. I've taken her in my hand. I brought her. I left her. But I left her there. I've at least left her there. I've finished with that. But now, what about you? You're still carrying her. Is it not? He says to her. So, the very next morning, what did he do? Junior sannyasi paid his obeisances to the guru and said, I'll see you. Bye-bye. Gone. Disciple is gone. So, what do we understand from this story, from this incident? What it is telling us that The junior sannyasi did karma yogam. He acted as a karma yogi. He touched the lady, but he was not affected by that. The senior sannyasi has not touched her, has only seen her, but it has affected him. He got stuck with it, isn't it? So, sticking can happen not by karma indriyas, not by senses of action, but by the senses of knowledge. Eyes are senses of knowledge. The hand is senses of action. He has lifted her, helped her, brought her and left her. And there it's finished. It didn't go further than that. It didn't affect him anymore. But our senior Acharya brought him, and not only brought him in the mind all the way through, and prodding over that whole day and night, thinking that what has he done, and how he has broken all the rules and regulations. Actually, he was sticking to it. He got stuck with it, isn't it? Karma yogam is that, when you don't get stuck with anything. That is karma yogam. If one can execute karmam without getting sticking to it, that is called karma yogam. Otherwise, it is karma. So, the example will teach us how important it is to execute things in this world without being attached to it. And that is why Krishna is saying there that karma nevatikaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalahe durbur madho sangostva karmani. That this is the nature of the karma yogam. Karma yogam is that where you don't get sticking. That sticky nature of karma. One has to be careful about that. Not to get stuck to it, sticking to it, anything. That, so if you execute karmam, any amount of karmam in this world, it will not bind you. If you execute, it's not only in Bhagavad Gita, I have to tell you this, that even if you take Ishopanishad, how it is presented there, how important it is. The first two mantras in the Ishopanishad is only talking about this topic. That, that some understanding we have to get from this, that karmam binds us to this world. Karmam binds us to this world. And this bondage will continue as long as we are not cautious. Understanding is not right in us. If we are thinking, oh, I've done this, I've done that, sometimes people become so ignorant. I can give you another example. Sometimes some big men when I'm talking about, who are doing a lot of business, they have started a lot of industries, businesses, and they have a big, big empire. Business empire is running the whole world, Yeah. And people in ignorance will say, oh, he is a karma yogi. They'll say like that about him, isn't it? Have you heard this? People saying, oh, he's a karma yogi. He's working 24 hours, day and night. He's such a karma yogi because he has created all these things. So, unfortunately, karma yogam is not that. That's not karma yogam. Now, in order to explain this, four times, this said like this, that once, a person was doing a lot of work. He's so busy all the time, working. He has no time for anything. If you talk to him anything, he says, no, I have no time to waste, he said. I have no time, they'll say. I have no time, kind of sight. That's their answer for that. So, when they say like that, you ask him, why are you working like this, so hard? And the answer will be, if I don't work, how can I eat? That will be his answer. How will I eat if I don't work hard? He will say. He is so convinced that if I don't work so hard, I won't eat. He will say like that. Alright. If you are working so hard so that you can eat, that's the reason why you are working. Alright. We'll go and see how he eats then. Decided. So he went and looked at him, how he was eating. While eating also it's the same way. Oh, chuck, pushing in his side. So we asked him, why do you eat like this? So why can't you do it in a little peaceful way? He says, if I don't eat like this, how can I work? He said. So as far as he is concerned, he was working like this to eat like that. He was eating like that to work like this. Now, if such a, and he thinks that he is a karma yogi. And many people think he is such a karma yogi that he doesn't even take enough time to eat. You see? So all these foolish conceptions of karma yogam had come to us from where? From this false understanding of karma. And Krishna is clearing us all these things. Karma yogam has nothing to do with any of these things. in that person's life, he is working day and night, very, very hard. And in everything, his mind is absorbed completely. He is sticking to everything what he is doing. He will remember 30 years ago what has happened in his life, what he has done, how the results has come from that. He will remember even that. Throughout his life, how he has made money with the different activities and how the results had come from that. He will remember that also. In other words, he's all sticking everywhere, in every step, what he has done, he's sticking to it. That's what it means. You see? So, karma is such a thing. Krishna says, you have to do it and you have to leave it at that. You don't have to go further than that. But karma has to continue, non-stop, it has to continue. One has to work all the time. This is the way karma yoga comes in. So, in the Ishopanishad, these things are spoken. And if you take the first verse of the Ishopanishad also, you will see these things are mentioned in a much nicer way. Ishopanishad talks about the first verse, Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkinja jagatim jagal tenatyatvena punjina magada kasya suldhanam. Why is this verse so important? Krishna is saying like this. Translation. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one must not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong to. You see, to whom they belong to. Now, this is called when karma becomes a yajnam. And Krishna is saying to us, do everything what you have to do as a yajnam. Only then it becomes a yogam. If it is not performed as a yajnam, it never becomes a yogam. And throughout third chapter, this is what Krishna is explaining again and again, that how our activities has to be based on this principle of yajnam. And because it is not yajnam, the life becomes a misery. Life becomes a misery. So, what Krishna is saying, for example, in the Bhagavatam, all these things are coming in a very subtle way. It is presented in the Bhagavatam also. Those who wants to know it is there in the Bhagavatam. Just like Vishnu, who is all-pervading. Krishna is all-pervading in the Vishnu's form, isn't it? Vishnu means Vyapanashilan, one who is present in everything. He is present in everything. Vishnu is present in everything. And he has created this planet, or the whole creation also, from 8 different things, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita we have seen, what are they? Bhumi rapanalo vayu, khammano buddhire vaja, ahangaram idiyalma, bhinna pragadir ashtadam, ashtadam. 8 things. So Krishna's name is Ashtamurti Dhara. 8 different things. He is the controller of these 8 different things, isn't it? Ashtamurti. So, everything in this creation is made of these 8 things. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, mind, intelligence and false ego. These are the 8 ingredients with which Krishna has created us. And everything in this world is coming from that. Anything what you take is one of these things are present there in that. So, in other words, you can say, Bhumi Devi is Krishna's wife, isn't it? Shri Dhara Shlishta Parshvam. In the Vishnu's 2 wives, one is Shri and other one is Dhara. Lakshmi Devi and Bhu Devi, 2 wives of Krishna. It's mentioned in the, I think Vishnu Sahasranam also says that. Shri Dhara Shlishta Parshvam. One side is Lakshmi Devi, other one is Bhu Devi, Bhumi Devi. She is present there. Now, 8 things is which they have all been created. Isn't it? All these 8 things have been created by Krishna has created. And from that, all the other different combinations have come out in this world. Everything what we see in this is nothing but a different permutations and combinations of these 8 different things. So therefore, Krishna is also referred to as Ashtamurti Dhara. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring this in another way, is mentioned that the Krishna had 8 major wives also. Isn't it? Krishna had 8 major wives. In other words, those 8 wives are the ones Krishna's register marriage is done. You know, like we say, registered marriage, we say these days. So, register marriage is with 8 wives. That's the 8 wives, Krishna's register marriage. The other 16,000 or 16,100, whatever it is, that has come from Naragasura. That is, he has just brought them together all. But the major 8 important wives whom Krishna has married in the appropriate way or whatever you call it, these are these 8 wives. And just like these 8 material elements or the which makes the creation. So you will notice there that Srinarada Maharshi went around everywhere, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, if you remember that incident when Narada Muni wanted to see what Krishna is doing with all his wives, there is that story of Narada Maharshi's visit to all the palaces to see what Krishna is doing. That is an important pastime of Srinarada Maharshi and Krishna together. So in that, what did Krishna see, Narada Muni see? Narada Muni saw whichever house he went to, he saw Krishna there. Everywhere he saw that, didn't he? Somewhere Krishna was engaged in bathing his children. Somewhere he was discussing business with somebody. Somewhere else he was doing something else. Somewhere he was practicing the weaponry. And somewhere he was bathing the horses. Somewhere he was chatting with the wife. Like this, different activities were going on. In other words, Narada Muni came to realize that Krishna is present everywhere. There is nowhere where Krishna is not present. You see? So, Narada Muni's realization was that wherever we went, all he could see was Krishna's presence in everything. You see? That these 8 material elements, Krishna is present in everything, in everywhere, in all conditions. There is nowhere you can say Krishna does not exist here. In every situation, Krishna is present. Just like if you talk about this way, that you know we have the chemical formula for water. They call it as H2O. So 2 molecules of hydrogen and 1 molecule of oxygen, and when they combine, they may form water, isn't it? That is water. So if this is the chemical formula, whatever it is. So, if somebody gives us 1 cylinder of hydrogen and 1 cylinder of oxygen and asks us to make water, can we do that? We can't do that. Why? Because that particular energy, what is required to do while mixing the hydrogen and oxygen in the right proportion and to make it as water, that's done by Krishna, not by us. Krishna is doing that. So, in everything what goes on in this creation, Krishna's presence in everything you can see, some form or the, some way or the other, you will see there. So Krishna is telling us, don't ignore this aspect. That's all he is telling us in these chapters, repeatedly saying to us, don't ignore this aspect of me in everything. We, unfortunately, due to our conditioning of this material life, that we tend to think independent of Krishna in every activity. And therefore, in the third chapter, while discussing this, you will notice there, in the third chapter, Krishna talks about this, that the if you do not recognize this, the presence of me in everything, what happens in this creation, then what will happen is that your karma will never become a yajna. When you recognize Krishna in your activity and execute the work, then karmam becomes a yajnam. Otherwise, karmam becomes a bondage. It binds us to this world further and further. That was the point Krishna was trying to point out there. That when Krishna has released us into this world, he has given all the different limbs in the body to do, hands and the legs and everything. To do, just like they say, this material body is nothing like a birthday gift. It's just like a birthday gift. It's given to us and told us you do what you want with it. As long as you, and I will support you all the way through by being present in you. And as long as I am present, you can do it. But one day, Krishna decides to withdraw, then all these hands, legs and all the glory what we had, all goes in the, outrightly finished immediately, isn't it? That's gone then and there. So, the recognition of Karma Yogam comes at this point, that when you recognize that everything in this creation, it is Krishna behind it, and with that understanding, if you act, in your daily life also, in everything what you do, and then that becomes, that is the proper understanding of Karma Yoga. Otherwise, what normally we happens to us is that when some reversals happens in life, just like, as I mentioned before, failing in the exam, or got some sickness, serious sicknesses, or marriage didn't happen, or something like that, some distress in the life, whatever that is. That time we say, oh, it's my results of my karma, Prabhu, I have to suffer like this. But he doesn't recognize that everything else what he is doing also is karma only. This is only a very, very tiny part of the whole karmic world. The karma is a much bigger entity that is there. And in that whole thing, we, a small entity here, is lamenting about all the small things what has happened in my life, and I am giving, accounting to that, to my karma balam, and working all my energy in sorting that out. And many often, it is the opposite results that is coming all the time. When the opposite results are coming, then we curse and we start complaining about it, this and the other. Why? Because we do not understand that there is a big relationship between us and the whole creation. We ignore that fact. We completely ignore that fact, this relationship between us and the whole creation. Krishna's creation is such, everything in the whole creation is one unit. You can't forget it. Just for example, this is only an example to understand that, suppose you stand near a tree, you are thinking, oh, if you have little understanding, you will think, oh, this is just a tree, look at him, how degraded it is. That's how it is. Look at me, I got this human body, I can move around. Probably it is a tree, I can cut as and when I want. This is all our understanding about the tree, isn't it? Or I can make, turn it out to be a full ream of paper from that. Or make some furniture or use for something else. So why we look at the tree like that? We are thinking that the tree has not much of a importance. Yeah. But in Krishna's creation, it's not like that. Krishna's calculation is different. When you start near the tree, holding on to the tree, the relationship between me and the tree is little different. What is that? The relationship is like this, that whatever the tree is exhaling, which is the oxygen, I am taking it to live. Whatever I am exhaling, the tree is inhaling in the form of carbon dioxide, isn't it? Goes into the tree. Now, who is doing a better job, me or the tree? As far as the world is concerned, the tree is acting more responsible, because taking a wrong, lower thing and releasing something higher to this world for other living entities to survive, is it not? So in other words, the activities of the tree is to give, to sacrifice for others, isn't it? It is always sacrificing to others. And this is the reason, who knew this? The sages knew the relationship between us and the other entities in this world. We have loads of religions in this world who ignore all these aspects. They think there is no relationship, only human society, nothing else. Religion is only for human beings, others have nothing to do with it. No, that is not the conception of the Vedic philosophy. Vedic culture is saying these things to us. Every single thing in this creation has a relationship with you. You cannot ignore it. People reject so many things, but you have to accept also certain things. Just like at the time of the new moon or the full moon day, if your hands get cut, the flow of blood is increasing at that time, isn't it? Just like the tide. The tide, due to the effect of the moon. So the moon has an effect on the sea, how the water level goes up, water level comes down, depending on the tidal conditions. And every time you see so many millibar, the presence and this, that and the other, the newsreader is reading it all the time. But if you think about it, there is a relationship between the moon planet and the sea. There is a relationship between the moon planet and us also, in the same way. Like this, all of us in this world are connected to each other in one way or the other. This is the proper understanding of yam. That becomes, when that understanding comes, you cannot act in the wrong way. You will not try to cheat each other. There is no point in cheating, because behind this Krishna's higher laws are working. That's why when we understand the science of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, You have to recognize these things, these factors. The mind will not allow you to ignore and reject others, others' interest. Every living entity in this world is important. There is a relationship between us. Like when you cross through somebody, some friend or someone in the street or in the corridor, naturally you smile and some exchange happens, isn't it? Of course, nowadays you choose whom to smile and not to smile. This is the sad thing in this age. It is how unfortunate people are. Today they cannot even recognize others. And the relationships have gone so bad that they find it very hard to smile each other. Why is it? Because this concept is not there. It is absent in them. The yam concept is completely missing. Krishna is explaining this verse after verse to make us understand that do not ignore everybody else in this world. They are also a part of the same unit, the whole creation. At the moment, particularly in the case of householder, this is more significant. Householder thinks, me, my wife, my children, and my job, my bank balance, this, that's all. That's my world, and that's it, there finishes that. Nothing else in this matters to me in this world what happens. So, and this thought becomes stronger and stronger day by day. And in the end, in that consciousness, he has to leave the body, or limited to my three-bedroom detached house, 5 cents or 10 cents land, whatever he is having in this world. So he's thinking like that, and this thought becomes stronger and stronger. Krishna says, you will not be able to relate with anything else in this world. Our association with everything else fails, goes away from that point, isn't it? So therefore, there is a relationship for us with everything, the planets even. The prayers to the planets, if you read, you will notice there that in the morning sun comes out and we pay our respects to the sun planet. Why? Because there is a relationship with the sun. We have a relationship with the moon. We have a relationship with the sea. We have a relationship with the forest. We have a relationship with everything. The Vedic philosophy is such, there is a relationship with everything in this creation. It's not that we have a religion which only talks about my relationship with God, that's all. Nothing else matters in this world. That is not the Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy is bringing everything into this one understanding. And that is the reason why worship of the trees, plants, everything has become a part of the Vedic culture. People are thinking, oh, this is some pagan religion or something aborigines practice the worshipping the tree, worshipping the animals and worshipping the plant and all that. And they fall into this understanding that, oh, they are nothing to be worshipped. What is there in them to worship? But if you understand Krishna's creation, then what else can you do except to pay your respects to every living entity in this world, moving and non-moving? In everything, Krishna is present there. It's Krishna who is present in there, in that, all that. So, except to offer your respects to them, what else, what more can you do? When you see a big banyan tree standing there, people circumambulate banyan tree, isn't it? Why do they circumambulate banyan tree? We see this all the time, especially in the villages. You will notice in India, many times, the men, women going around the banyan trees and circumambulating them. It is just a tree. The tree is useless as far as furniture making is concerned. It is not even hard wood. It's such a soft wood, it is useless. And you can't even use it for making matchboxes or matchsticks. When you can't use that, even for that it is useless. But still, they are worshipping this banyan tree. Why? And Krishna is using an example in the Bhagavad Gita. Urdhva moola madha shaham ashwatham prahuravyayam. An ashwatham tree is this banyan tree. Why is it worshipped like this? There is a relationship everywhere. That is why that Krishna has found in all these things, there is something respectful, to be respected. And that is why Krishna's, if you see in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will talk about his devotees, who all through the process of bhakti has come back to him. And there are Sugriva, Hanuman, Vibhishana, and there is even mentioned about Dharmavyadha. You will be amazed to know who Dharmavyadha was. I don't know, some of you have heard about Dharmavyadha. Dharmavyadha was a person, he was a butcher. He used to slaughter animals and sell the meat. That was it. He has come back to Krishna due to his devotion. So Krishna says he has also become my devotee. Krishna recognized many people, a category of devotees he has given in the Bhagavatam, and Krishna has recognized all these people as my devotees. And when Krishna recognizes somebody as a devotee, then you don't need any recognition from anyone, do you? Today we are saying, oh, he is a devotee, he is not a devotee, he is more advanced, he is less advanced. This, that, all these kind of statements we make in this world. All these things will come to an end when Krishna says to somebody, you are my devotee. Like he said to Arjuna and he said to Uddhava also. So while explaining about the power of bhakti, power of devotion in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava like this. That look at this, Uddhava. All these personalities, there is birds, there is beasts, and there is rakshasas, there is monkeys, and there is human beings, there is gopis. They are all listed in that long list of devotees who has attained perfection, Krishna consciousness, by taking to the process of devotion, bhakti process. They have all attained perfection, Krishna says. Now when Krishna says they have attained perfection, means they have attained perfection. Isn't it? So, one thing you will find throughout the books of Prabhupada's books, you will see a lot of things are repeated again and again, is it not? And some people even have complained about it. They keep asking, why is he repeating this again and again? He's spoken this before. Why? Because they do not understand the principle of Vedic philosophy. Principle of Vedic philosophy is such that by constantly repeating, you are stressing something very strongly. It has not registered in your head yet. You are thinking you have understood it, but it has not registered yet. Because if you have registered, it will change your life, would it not? And many of the things are like that. It hasn't registered in the head. So therefore, Krishna also repeats many things. Like, this is particularly with reference to the science of devotional science, devotional service. It's important. Uddhava says to Krishna, now, important thing here, is that Uddhava was Krishna's devotee, isn't it? Uddhava was Krishna's devotee. Uddhava had an opportunity to associate with Krishna for almost 112 years in his life. And he served Krishna with the greatest sincerity, simply to please him, without expecting anything in return. And in recognition of that, Krishna says to Uddhava at the end, in the Ekadasham you can read this thing, that he says to Uddhava, that you are my can't remember. Naham Sangarshana Shri Naivalma Jayatha Bhavan. Even Lord Balaram, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Goddess Lakshmi, none of them are as dear to me as you are. You are dearer to me than any one of them. Lord Brahma is not dear to me. Lord Shiva is not dear to me. Balaram is not dear to me. Lakshmi Devi is not dear to me. You are dearer to me than any one of them. Krishna says this to Uddhava. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you can read that. I think it is in the 14th chapter, in the 11th canto. So, Krishna said this to Uddhava. And Uddhava has got the greatest recognition from Krishna, isn't it? That Krishna has recognized that you are my devotee. What more do you need? You need anything else? That Krishna has told, suppose one day when you came to the temple, Gokulananda tells you that you are my devotee, then you won't go anywhere else asking for any recognition, do you? So that is the perfection of the spiritual life, that you are recognized. Even that Uddhava, who has got this recognition from Krishna as my devotee, what does he pray to Krishna? That is important to think. Who has reached that stage in Krishna consciousness, even his prayer to Krishna is like this. What does he say? He says to Krishna that ultimately I have only one desire, he says to Krishna, that life after life, disattachment, what I have built up for you to your lotus feet, stay within me forever. This is how Uddhava prayed to Krishna. It is in the end of Ekadasham, you can read that verse. Uddhava is saying to Krishna that whatever this attachment I have built within my mind, let this get stronger and never come down from Rati, as the word used is Rati, that Rati may not come down anymore. So even a devotee who has reached that level, he is also still praying to Krishna to get more and more devotion from him. So in other words, there is no end to it. There is no point you can say, now I have reached the final destination, I have no more to do anymore anything. No, it never comes. It goes higher and higher. Ever increasing bliss from the spiritual relationship with Krishna. So sometimes, in order to explain these points in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taken to different ways to present it to us. How life should become a yajnam, a sacrifice. If it is not a sacrifice, Krishna says, and that is how he has created this world. And you will see in the next few verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that a little bit more detail. Krishna says there. After that verse in the fifth chapter, after verse 6, if you look, what does Krishna say? Krishna says then, verse 7, Yastindriyani manasa neyamyarvade arjuna karmendriye karmayogam asakta asavishishyade. On the other hand, he who controls the senses by the mind and engages his active organs in works of devotion without attachment is by far superior. Then, next verse, verse 8. Niyadam kuru karma tvam karma jyayo hyakarmana sharira yatra abhijade na prasiddhye dhakarmanam. Perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. A man cannot even maintain his physical body without work. Krishna says like that. That in order to stress, that is why that word came there, madhava sangastva karmani, that akarmani is not acceptable. You cannot stay not doing anything. Saying that, oh, I'm not performing any work anymore, that is also not acceptable. Krishna says, sharira yatra abhijate, sharira yatra. What does sharira yatra mean? Sharira yatra means that after accepting this material body, it's a journey we have started, isn't it? We have started a journey in this material body. And it's called sharira yatra. And in this yatra, so many times unpleasant things will come. And so many times pleasant things will come. So whether pleasant or unpleasant, one should be able to carry on with the journey, not being affected by that. That is that sharira yatra Krishna is referring to. Whereas, if one starts rectifying the situation by reacting to it strongly and trying to think that, oh, I've done this and the reaction should be like this. If you start deciding like that and act in that way, then what will happen is that you have created more and more distress for yourself for many more lifetimes to come. That is what it means. And if you are not conscious of this, and if you start reacting to every situation in a way, taking the ownership and taking the control of the situation, thinking that the result should be there because I have acted in a particular way, it should be under my control. No, Krishna says no. You will be bound by that. In other words, the result will be you will commit sinful activities. And the result of that, you have to accept more material bodies after that, in order to experience the result of that. So, if one comes to takes into karma yoga, when one functions in this world as a karma yogi, one, whether pleasant or unpleasant things come, still he is able to handle it in the same way, unaffected by the result. So that Krishna says he is doing properly situated. In the next verse, now onwards, what is the next remaining part in the third chapter is what is known as yajna chakram, or the yajna prakaranam it is called, or all related to yajna. Yajna means sacrifice, isn't it? So, about in these verses from now on, what you will find in the Bhagavad Gita is how the life should become a sacrifice in a way according to Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise our life will simply become karma, and that karma means bondage again. So this karma side, if this is not followed seriously, if this is not taken seriously and simply ignore all that things, thinking that, oh, I am a devotee, I'm not bothered by any of these karma and all this for somebody else, it's not for me, then the devotional life also will not go very far. Because simultaneously you are executing your devotional service, At the same time, you are also engaged not caring for the other, the way of life, what we lead in this world. And there we are thinking, oh, I will manipulate things, I will cheat so many people. And any time when success comes, I think, oh, Krishna is helping you, see, because I am a devotee. Krishna is helping me in everything what we want. All this ignorant understanding will come from that. Ignorant understanding will come from that. This is because lack of Bhagavad Gita's understanding. It's not Krishna's fault, it's our fault. We haven't understood Bhagavad Gita, and therefore we are engaged in all kinds of manipulation in this world. Especially in the modern world, manipulation is very much a part of the world, worldly life, isn't it? How to manipulate others. The politicians are manipulating the voters. The industrialist is manipulating the workers. The businessmen do exactly the same thing. And the labor, the working class manipulate the capitalists. So whether Krishna rejects both, capitalism Krishna rejects, communism also Krishna rejects. Both are not correct from the viewpoint of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that if a living entity does not act based on the laws of Bhagavad Gita, he has broken the law. He has no right to exist here then. He is simply a burden on this planet. Whether he is a capitalist or whether he is a communist or whether he is any otherist, whatever it is. Because he has not understood how Krishna has created us. If you do not know what is our role in this world, we have a role given to us, all of us. Simple example. Just take the cow. Yeah. Just like the tree we explained before. A cow takes a very little what it needs, the ordinary grass it eats or the hay. And what does it give to this world? The most precious thing, the milk. Isn't it? So, cow's life is a sacrifice. It's performing a sacrifice in this world. Yajnam. His life is yajnam. And what do? We take this cow and say, oh, you have been created for my happiness. Cut your throat. I'll eat you. And this is my logic. Yeah? So, in this way, everything what we do is like that. We are thinking all this oil is there and the so many other precious metals and so many things in this world, all created for my enjoyment. Krishna is saying, no, not only for you, for everybody. It is to be shared, he says. And that is why Ishavanishad begins with this understanding. Ishavasamidam sarvam erkinta jagatim jagan tenaktatvene munchida mahagradakasya sildhanam. You are allowed to take the very minimum what is necessary. Otherwise you are a thief. Prabhupada writes that in the commentary on the translation for the verse 1. Ishavastamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagal tena tyaktvena munjida magrada kasya sildanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself which are set aside as his quota. And one must not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong to. And this is where our problem is. We think everything belongs to us. So grab everything what is in this world. I am very clever, you know. I manipulated so many things and I cleverly got it. So I am clever, aren't I? No. Krishna says, no. If you don't follow this, come back here again. Where is the question of coming out of Pidriyanam then? You see. That Pidriyanam process is for such people. Keep going around and around and around till you come to your senses and accepting this. That what Krishna has said there. And why in Ishavanishad, the first two verses, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about karma in the beginning itself, isn't it? He has given so much stress to karma. Before bhakti, jnanam or anything, Krishna talked about karma first. To make us aware that it is such an important aspect of life. Get that right first. After that the other things can come later. As long as this is not sorted, all your so-called glories is not going to last very long. This is what Krishna is pointing out. So, this concept of karma was very strongly in the minds of the great sages. And also the great personalities, great acharyas who have followed this tradition, they have all written exhaustive commentaries on this topic in order to make us aware of the importance and to create a lifestyle which is free from this bondage that comes from there. Look at the second verse, what Krishna says about that.
Kurvanneveha karmani yijivishekshatam samaha evam toina nyadevdhosti na karma lipyade nare.
Second verse in the Ishavanishad, translation. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on doing work in that way. Krishna is not asking you to stop working. Krishna says, go on working in this world, but with this understanding. Otherwise, because that sort of work will not bind him to the loss of karma. And there is no alternative to this way for man. As far as Krishna is concerned, this is the only way you have to work in this world. There is no other way one should work in this world. With this understanding, if you understand these laws of karma, like in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Ishopanishad, it says here, na karma lipyade narem, that such a work cannot bind a man to this world. As long as one is not working like that, in that understanding, he is bound. He is not going to free himself easily from here. He is going to come back here. There is no question about that. Na karma lipyade narem. Krishna says here in the Ishopanishad, these two verses in the beginning, Krishna talks about these important points. So, Krishna is saying here now, when the Yajnakam begins here in the Bhagavad Gita, what you will notice there is that Krishna has talked about this. Yajnarthal karmanonyatra logoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma gaundeya mukta sanga samachara. Then Krishna says there, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. So Krishna says, karmam what is performed as yajnam will not bind you. Logoyam karma bandhanam, otherwise it will bind you to this world. That is what Krishna is saying there. That this bondage, you cannot free yourself from that. And there is no way one can escape from that. And Krishna is repeatedly mentioning that again in the this yajna prakaranam is completely referring to that aspect of executing karma as a yajna, as a sacrifice. So one, when one does not have this attitude of yajnam as life, in work, in working life or in his karma, one does not have this attitude of a yajnam or a sacrifice, that karma is going to bind that person. Sahayajna praja srishtva puryovaja praja abadi anena prasavishyadvam eshavo sthishta kamadhuk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifice for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things. And Krishna is saying again this mood of yajna sacrifice, Krishna is explaining like that. Then in the beginning of Krishna, how he presents that, here it is. Krishna first wakes us up to the reality that we are a part of this whole creation. When we forget that relationship, then we act in a sinful way. We start cheating, lying, all these kinds are coming from them. But the moment you recognize that you are a part of a massive unit of this called creation, then there can be no possibility of cheating somebody, because you recognize that that person is also part of Krishna. And similarly, everything else, there is a relationship with Krishna. And it is this relationship between each other that is what is forgotten in the modern world. We have not been told in the ancient times, even a few generations before, they had this understanding very deeply in their heart. And therefore, when they lived a life in this world, they acted in such a way that they were cautious about giving pain to another living entity, or acting in such a way which broke the laws of nature. But as we advanced in the science, the so-called modern science, it has given us more and more understanding how to exploit and how to cheat and how to do anything for your benefit. And that is where whole things start going wrong. Krishna says, when things go wrong like that, in that direction, your part in the whole creation you have not done properly. Therefore, Prajapati reacts according to that, and then tsunami comes. This whole cycle, it is very interesting how people react when a calamity comes in this world. when a massive calamity happens, like tsunami or like cyclone or earthquake, this, that and the other, because there is no understanding of Yajnam, there is no understanding of Bhagavad Gita, there is no understanding of Krishna's creation. He is thinking, this person who speaks like this, he is thinking, why is he doing like this? If there is a God, there is no God. As far as he is concerned, God doesn't exist. Because if he does exist, why is he doing all these kind of things? He is seeing like, he is not taking Bhagavad Gita and reading it, what Krishna has spoken about his role in the whole creation. He doesn't want to accept that. He thinks, I'm totally independent. I have nothing to do with any of these things. You are not independent. None of us are independent. We are a part of that Krishna's big master plan behind it. And that plan is this, what Krishna has spoken there. And Krishna says to us, living entities, you human beings are one of my creations. You are not everything. I have got so many other things I have created. Starting from Lord Brahma onwards, so many other living entities are there. Don't take upon the whole thing on your shoulder. You are only one among the many creations. Now, your role in this, Krishna is explaining here in the Bhagavad Gita, how a human society should act. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuva parasparam bhavayanda prema parama shayam parama vapsyatha. This is the formula. Krishna says, if you follow this, you won't have tsunami or any other things. This is what it is. If you accept Bhagavad Gita, you have to think in those directions. There is no question otherwise. We are in this karma chakram or the wheel of karma. Krishna said, from karma, if you want to escape from that, you have to perform karma as a yajnam. If it is not done as a yajnam, it will bite you. It will come back to you. And we, through our very ignoring completely the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, taking the full freedom in our hands, and we have done such things in this world, and when things go wrong, we are perplexed about it. Are we not? Why this perplexion is coming? Why are we not accepting Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is explaining here about this. Yajñārthāl karmano nyatra logoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma gaundeya mukta sangha samāchara. That mukta sangha, that not being affected by that, you should be work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. And in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. So when we create a karmic situation by our activities, in its own way, the creation reacts to it, and sometime or the other, in different forms, it comes back to us. And when it comes back, then we are baffled by that. So here, Krishna gives the example to make Arjuna understand that nobody is independent. Nobody is free to think what he wants to, what he can do, what he shouldn't do. Follow the Shastram. That is Krishna's philosophy. Krishna's instruction is very clear. Don't manufacture anything. Follow the Shastram. I have given all the information, what you need to do, what you need to know. It's all there in the Bhagavad Gita. And that is why Bhagavad Gita becomes so important for the human society. It's not for Hindus or Muslims or Christians. It is for everyone who has intelligence to think and who has ability to work in this world. Bhagavad Gita applies to every single living entity in this world. No one can say that it is belongs to a particular group. That is foolishness. Actually, it belongs to Krishna. And Krishna has given this at the time of creation. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been given to us how to act properly in this world. And if one acts with that understanding of the Bhagavad Gita as Krishna has explained here, then Krishna says what will happen? Parasparam bhavayanda shaya paramavapsyatha. If you act in that consciousness, Krishna says, you have an obligation to fulfill. Fulfill that obligation. Bhagavad Gita tells you what your responsibilities are. That's what Bhagavad Gita is not telling you what your rights are. That Bhagavad Gita will not never tell you. Bhagavad Gita only tell you one thing, what your responsibilities are. Perform the responsibilities accordingly. The results will follow. You don't have to worry about it. Prema parama vapsyatha. That performing yajnam, sacrifice, and pleasing the demigods, that by which they are satisfied. And in return, they shower us with all our necessities of life. This is the basic, very, very underlying principle of Bhagavad Gita is like this. Bhagavad Gita never said once that you have to work, 24/7, 724 or 24/7, throughout life to live in this world. Where does Bhagavad Gita say like that? Bhagavad Gita never said you have to create all these gigantic industrial enterprises and create jobs for people, crying all the time. Jobs are going. And in that process, continuously disturb people's mind. Why? Because there is no understanding how the system is working. System is not working by your job creation. System will never work. No matter what you do, at the end the whole system is collapsing anyway. So system will work when one follows the proper system what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has given sufficient understanding that Krishna says here, then sahayajna praja srishtva kurovaja prajapati anena prasavishidvam yashavostishtaka madhuk, that they will bestow upon you all the desirable thing. So first Krishna quotes the creation to give an example to us to expand our relationship with this creation, first thing. Secondly, Krishna gives an example through Prajapati, how Prajapati created all these things. And eventually what does Krishna say? Krishna says, look at me, the example for that. Krishna doesn't say anything what he has not shown to us in practice, in his life. Everything what Krishna has acted in this world, fully according to the what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So from there you can see here that this cycle of karma, if one wants to escape from that, a deeper understanding and realization of this has to be there. If it is not there, we will act foolishly in this world. And as Krishna has spoken before, he'll be called a moodha, ignorant person. So in that process, Krishna is saying, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shraya parama vapsyadam. That this yajna bhavam, or this relationship in the form of yajna with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all Krishna's creation is necessary. Only when that goes in one's mind, one will understand that he is not a separate entity. He is a part of the whole creation. You cannot declare independent yourself. And that is not possible. It's just like this. There is a statement that this whole life in this world is just like a procession. It's going on. You are a part of that procession. If you go away from the procession, you may not be able to come back to the procession again. You'll be left behind somewhere. So like that, in that we have a role, and that role Krishna is explaining here as yajnam. That yajnam, life becomes a yajnam. Now you can understand why in the ancient times yajnams were given so much importance in life. And all the great sages and great personalities, all their life was a yajnam, a sacrifice. And through their life they have shown us. So great personalities, they showed their life. Great sages, it was a yajnam for others, they lived their life. Taking the very little. Even the cow is teaching us these things. Cow is taking the very minimum from this world and offering the maximum returns to us. And we offer the minimum and take the maximum from there. Isn't it? Just the opposite. And we consider ourselves more advanced than the cow. So who is more advanced? Who is doing better things in this world? A cow offers much better. As far as the sacrifice is concerned, it is a higher position than any of us. And if we do like that sticking won't happen. If you act like this, you won't stick to anything. You must have come to know, noticed many times, we talk about Krishna, we will say, lotus hands, lotus lips, lotus eyes, lotus this, lotus that. Did you ever think that Krishna's all things are looking like lotus? No, it's not the reason why it is spoken like that. It has come from this yajnam, for sacrifice. Why? Anything what Krishna does with his body is like a lotus leaf. It doesn't stick, lotus flower, it doesn't stick to anything. That is the beauty of that. Krishna can do anything. He ran the Mahabharata war 16 days, millions and millions died, no sticking to anything. Free from all reactions, nothing. Why? It was done with that perfection of the Karma Yoga. That's the way he functioned there. So that is why, it's not that Krishna's eyes are lotus eyes, and then the face is lotus face, hands are lotus, feet is lotus, everything is lotus, we keep calling lotus feet, and we are thinking in our mind, is a lotus feet the very beautiful feet to look at? We think like that sometimes, don't we? I don't know, I think at least. It is not that, it didn't come from that. It came from this understanding, the higher principles behind it. Krishna's beauty is this, the beauty form of Krishna is beautiful because it doesn't stick anywhere. He can come here, do anything what he wants, go back, unaffected by anything what goes on in this world. Whereas a little thing is sufficient for us to get stuck here. We won't get out of it. And prodding over the day in and day out, again and again, and developing ragam and dvesham, attachment and hate towards others, and that builds up. And then the whole life, some people, it doesn't finish with one lifetime. It goes through generations then, after that, isn't it? Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Like that, this enmity flows after that. Why? Because here it was sticking so strongly with the origin, and that it flowed through the rest of the generations. So, like this, Bhagavad Gita has a very, very important message in the for us to take note of. Think it is. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's 7:30 now. We'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.